Hey everybody, I'm Bobby Salveson.
And I'm Michael Monaco, and together we are the Hazmat Guys, connecting the Hazmat community near and far with knowledge, insight, and real-world examples in an effort to make your job just a little bit easier and safer.
Now, let's take a minute to hear from today's sponsors. Hey, Mike, let me ask you, have you ever heard about the bar method?
Have not, but it sure sounds like fun. What does it mean?
Well, probably not what you think it stands for, but what they mean is blot, apply, and remove. It's the new way to remember the steps to conduct hybrid decon.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, with the threats continuing to evolve, our SOPs do as well. And First Line Technology introduced us to the BAR method. It's backed by science and real-world application. This method of blot, apply, and remove is faster, safer, and more effective method to decon.
Is it going to work for both wet and dry?
Well, yeah, absolutely. The methodology forces you to consider the who, what, when, and where before determining what materials you will be used to carry out the necessary actions. It helps you to tailor your decon to the threats you're facing.
This could be exactly the thing I need to train my team on. How can I get more info?
Well, First Line's EDS kit has everything you need to conduct the hybrid decon for large or small missions. To learn about the kit and how to apply this BAR method, visit www.firstlinetech.com/EDS. You know, it's time to rethink your level A protection. Multi-threat suits made of lightweight Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric are part of the most functional non-encapsulated level A ensembles that bring an essential modernization to hazmat PPE. Certified NFPA 1994 Class 1 suits with Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric offer unencumbered movement, increased range of motion, improved peripheral visibility, excellent dexterity, and reduced heat stress so you can stay engaged longer. You can learn more at GoreTexProfessional.com. Let's get to the show.
So that's when he was like, can you ever just be wrong?
No.
And I was like, no, I can't ever be wrong. The way we have it. Are we live?
This is what I say still.
Oh, boy. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Hazmat Guys. This is episode 328. We're going to be talking. We're going to be talking about how me and Bob can't be wrong,
ever. It's incredible. That's
the episode of today, right? We can't be. I mean, I'm sure somebody can try. And that's a good one. So here's the deal. We're going to be at a bunch of conferences.
Yes.
If you can make us be wrong, then you can buy us a drink.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Yeah. If we're 100%, that's what we're going to do. So you can you can get me a Coke at Wisconsin tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or Thursday or Whammer. Yeah, I love it. All right. So we have set up our life so that we can't be wrong. And what the hell? I mean, clearly we're not geniuses. Because we're two freaking idiots with microphones in front of us.
Right.
So explain to our lovely audience how we can never be wrong.
Before I do.
Okay.
I do want to crack open an egg that we've been alluding to for quite a while. And it's for a great cause, a great company. We have no alliance with these guys. But the FDNY Hazmat Company number one has officially opened their web store.
Yes.
Their shirt store. Their locker.
Yes. For a very long time, it has been knock on the door only.
Yes.
Exclusive. Which, you know, worked great back in like the 1800s.
Yeah, you could saddle your horse up.
Right. You know, we tried to get a catalog going. Nobody back in the 30s wanted to do a catalog.
That's actually where JCPenney came from.
Yeah. it was our idea.
Yeah.
And they took and they ran with it. You know, sometimes, you know, you give somebody the right idea and they just run with it. So, yes, we can take credit for JCPenney's, for Sears, all those things. We just never got our catalog up and running. Our FDNY Hazmat Company One shirt locker is now open. for business, some really cool shirts. Depending on the spectrum that you're in, right? Like, I am a person who likes my shirts with like a little logo and nothing else. And then there are some people who will just cover every square inch of the back of their shirt in billboard. We yes. love you too. There's stuff for you as well.
So you can go to FDNY hazmat one, and then it's the number one.com, and check out the swag store. It's pretty cool. And there's some amazing stuff in there. So just want to pay a little homage to them. And they've been so good with their stories. So thank you. Thank you to them.
A lot of the information gets passed on through the stream, especially with the batteries thing. So, you know, if you're more confused than ever over the batteries, then do us a favor and show your appreciation by picking something up at the store. And here's the deal. If we catch you wearing an FDNY Company One shirt at the conference, we will allow you to buy us a drink.
That's a great idea. This is a great idea, I think. This is fantastic. I can't believe we didn't think of this first. Okay, so getting back to the whole thing, I've been kind of... It's been running through my head. And we... So allegedly, we do sign-offs for the new guy, which we've talked about extensively.
Yes.
About, you know, having conversations, and towards the end of their apprenticeship, we'll call it, we start having more discussions and less functional physical demonstrations of like, how do you set up a pump and how do you drill a tank and et cetera.
I was actually just talking to a chief about our sign off yesterday. We had a walkthrough of some arena, and he wants to be there for sign offs.
Oh.
And I was like, well, I got to be honest with you. I think you should be there as well. I go, but it makes the guys nervous. And I said, I go, which I think is complete bullshit. Because if you can't do it in front of the chief, which is the entire purpose, right? So for those of you that don't know, one of the goals of our sign-offs is our company, the firefighters of our company, we train our guys to operate independent of a assigned officer or an officer in general and a chief. So right. Theoretically, if you are what we would consider to be a top row, middle row person, been there for a while, there's an expectation that that person could run the entire scene from right. start to finish. And in order to make a firefighter comfortable doing that, we start training them on these sign-offs where they're like, hey, you know, we're going to act as a chief that doesn't know anything. You have to explain everything to us. And if we feel like you did a good job, boom, you get signed off. So it's more than just understanding the information. It's being able to relay the information. So I was saying, listen, if they're nervous doing it in front of a battalion chief, how are they going to be talking to a 2 or 3 star chief at a major incident trying to control the scene? And yes. He's like, I agree with you 100%. So
good. There's good progress on that one.
Good progress on that.
So we were having... I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm sure this I'm guaranteeing we're going to get fire. There's going to be fire coming back at us for this one, because I'm going to make a case for something that, and I'll set this up. You play the new guy.
Okay.
But So the object is we give them 3 chemicals. I give them chemical A, chemical B, and chemical C. And typically, what I give them is a solid, a liquid, and a gas.
Okay.
All right. And I want them to kind of just suss out, you know, some things I have to go find, and some things it will come find me. Some things are toxic and some things are not. So what I don't want is commodity-based PPE selection. Right, because I don't want somebody to go, well, it's chlorine, therefore it's an A. That's right. Just not true. But what I do want to start saying is whatever they pick, it could be the quote-unquote correct PPE. I will pick the other one and make a compelling argument and then say, am I right? And because I'm the senior guy and because I'm the guy that's quote-unquote the instructor on this thing, they're like, it sounds right.
Yeah.
And then I will take their point and I will make a compelling argument. And they will be like, oh, wow. But that's what I said. I go, yeah, but I'm agreeing with you now. And so now they look at me like, okay, what's right? And I go, the point is, we're both right.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a really good and kind of an advanced instructor technique, not just for this is an advanced instructor for the classroom, because this is how you start to get people fighting against each other. Like they take their ideas and they interfight, and you
get them
against each other. Yes. Yes. I always love turning my students against each other. Because then they get passionate, and they argue, and they really think about their points and counterpoints and stuff like that. So yeah, all right. So let's do this.
So here's the thing, is that let's say you pick, we can make up a scene. It doesn't really matter, and you feel that the scene is, it's a liquid. It's an inflammable liquid. It's on the ground. It's in a pool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you say, I think it's a B, and you make a good, compelling argument. I can make a good, compelling argument for an A, or I can make a good, compelling argument for a bunch of turnout gear. And here's the thing is like, one of the biggest things that I see, and I'm sure you see it as well, is that especially in classrooms, and now we're in classrooms, we're talking to people that are not experienced. The reason why they're in the classroom is because they're looking to gain more experience.
Okay.
Right. And so I see a lot of people saying, well, I am a technician, or I am now a specialist, and I am the guy that picks out the PPE selection. And I go, great, are you comfortable doing it? And invariably, they're like, no. I'm like, so what do you need to do? What do you need? What information do you need to pick your PPE? And they really don't know. And I said, I go, okay. So, and this is kind of like the full circle thing, is that when we had that hazmat huddle, of which we've had a couple of podcasts on as well, I suspect you should go back and listen to those. When we had the hazmat huddle, and we've talked about this at length, Mike says, we should go into level A, and this is why. And I say, I think it's a level B, and this is why. Somebody eventually is going to be like, all right, you know what? We're going to go with a B because it's a much more compelling case, and that's what's going to happen. But the truth is, both of us are right. It's just that maybe one made a better argument, or maybe one acquiesced and said, you know what? That's a good argument. I withdraw my submission for a B.
Right.
Right. So the truth of this is that there is no correct PPE for any situation, because though there's guidelines in NFPA and OSHA and EPA and all this other stuff, there is nothing saying if this, then that. That's
right.
All on scene determined by you know who.
Right.
Us.
And there's things out there that you may not even think of. And a perfect example is, you remember when we were sitting in Mike Callan's lecture?
Yes.
on PPE site, right? And he had an argument of like, okay, well, level A is for this concentration and above. Like just kind of a generalized. And,
okay.
And I was like, no, I don't buy it. I'm like, level A is for like, okay, this is going to hurt my skin if I've got, you know, a million parts per million of a substance and it's not going to hurt my skin. Why do I have to be in a level A? And his answer was, what if in the process your mask get knocked off and you inhale one breath at a million parts per million? What's going to happen to you? And I was like, okay, that's a pretty valid question.
It's a good argument.
It's a good argument. I'm not going to say it's going to necessarily apply every time across the board, but that's a pretty good, like, oh, that's something I didn't think of. If you didn't hear yet, we are transitioning to a new format that is going to give you, the listener, even more content.
Yeah, for example, in our technician and specialist levels, we are adding even more video content, access to our entire show catalog, and even access to a monthly small group Q&A session to answer any questions that come up, as well as so much more.
All of this for less than a cup of coffee that you premium snobs like to drink for the entire month of access.
This is the stuff that you've been asking for. So take a look at what we can do to take you to the next level of hazmat.
go to our website, thehazmatguys.com. You can sign up for our premium tiers that will give you even more hazmat goodness.
Yes. And I don't want anybody to get the wrong, because they say we are very argumentative because we use the word argument. But it's not that we're arguing. We're not fighting. We're opining. We have an opinion.
It's a debate.
And that's our stating of the – yeah, it's a debate.
Debate. And each side of a debate has what is known as an argument.
An argument, right? Lawyers do this shit all the time. So, like, there is – in that hazmat huddle where let's say there's 2, 3, 5, 7, 10 guys in this thing – and we all, you know, I submit my B case and Mike submits his A case and we go with Mike's A case. Well, if all 9 of the wise men in the huddle go, yep, well, that is the correct thing. And now comes in when you make this to, let's say, an experienced operator, where they go, well, what if somebody gets hurt? That's always the argument is, what if somebody gets hurt because of the decision we made? Well, then all 9 of us who are the experts all going to agree that that was, based upon the situation, the best thing. Well, right. Why didn't you do this? Well, why weren't you there?
Yeah, because there's no PPE selection that is going to guarantee your safety 100%. There's, you know, like there's no, all you're doing, it's like wearing the mask with COVID, right? You're just reducing the probability. It could still happen. And it doesn't mean that your selection was wrong. It just means that, you ended up getting hurt doing a job that is kind of considered hazardous.
Your audio sounds a little weird. I don't know if it's just on my side.
Hmm.
It just sounds a little, only when you're talking. Honestly, it's like digital ones.
Really?
It could be just in my headset, but we'll do it again now.
Strangers in the night. No.
It's still happening.
All right. We'll have to go back and re-listen and make sure it's not something.
I hope not. All right. Well, yeah. And that's a great point, is like, if somebody got hurt and we went with Mike's level A, right? And again, it doesn't matter what the actual chemical is. Doesn't matter. We went with Mike's thing and I was shot down. There are people that could argue that, well, Bob's would have been ready. Right. But that's not true. Because the road not traveled, you can't make a reasonable expectation that that was the right answer. We didn't experiment with that one.
Right.
We committed to one.
Right.
And we all were comfortable with that.
And you know what's kind of important during this discussion that I don't think a lot of people think about is the fact that it is a fluid, dynamic situation. So you cannot, like, choose a PPE selection and then be like, well, that's what we're going with from this point forward. Because you could take half hour getting dressed, which you shouldn't take a half hour getting dressed, just saying, and take 2 steps in and realize the situation is either changed, evolved, different than what you expected, things that were not accounted for.
The wind shifted,
right? Like, a number of different things could happen. That should be part of the discussion too, because it's like, well, listen, I don't know. I can't think of something off the top of my head, but what if it's like, well, listen, not for nothing, but it's nice out now, but in 20 minutes, we're expecting rain. Is that rain going to change my PPE selection? It could. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but who's to say it can't? So along with the PPE selection and the argument is the how the situation is going to evolve. Maybe a level B is more suited because the situation is going to evolve so rapidly that a level A won't be a consideration by the time you're doing X, Y, and Z.
Right. I don't want it to be like at that scene, we went with Mike's A and it's like mic drop, we're done. Like Mike said, we could have that argument 3, 4, 5, 10 times during an operation cycle because it keeps changing. And you know what? And that's depending on what me and Mike are doing. We're on the mitigation thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we can have that same freaking argument for the decon guys, and we can have that argument for the recon guys, and we can have that argument for the removal guys, and the each one of those guys that are in a CPC or in a functional group should have that argument.
Right. What's the buzzword for that? Mission dependent.
Mission dependent.
I couldn't think of it for a moment.
No, but like, you know, like if you have the bigger part of this thing, and we always focus on the mitigation guys, what are they going to wear? What are we going to do with this whole thing? If you, let's say we had that situation where we went with Mike, his A, I submitted B, and I got shot down. I can't be butthurt that my B was shut down. And now we go into decon, and I'm like, well, I don't care because you guys aren't listening to me. Right? Because there's guys that will do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're very proud, very egotistical. Like, what? My input's not good enough? No, it's just in that situation, it wasn't good.
Right.
This is what we're doing. Like, so you better check your ego. You got to check all that ridiculous, pompous, I'm the senior dude kind of thing. Oh,
out the window. That will absolutely ruin the hazmat huddle.
It will.
That I am so against that whole concept, and it's really hard to shake in the fire department. You know, oh, you listen to the senior guy. Yes. Listen to the experience, and that should give you his or her argument some weight. But man, if you don't listen to the guy that's got 3 minutes in the company, you could be missing.
Yes.
You're missing information. You're allowing your own confirmation bias to be able to inherently ruin the operation. It is so extremely important to not do that. And it's important for the junior guys and gals to have a set of cojones enough to be like, hold on a second. Can I say something?
Yes. And everybody's got, if you're standing in the huddle, I expect you to speak.
Yeah.
I don't want hands in pockets, just nodding along. Well, he's, you know, that's what Mike said. So
yeah,
no, he's the guy.
We want to be challenged. I know we've talked about this before. We've talked about like me and Bob will be on scene and we have an idea and the other's job is to do everything possible to negate that idea.
Yes.
Right. Like find the holes. Like, here's my thought process, Bob. Find the flaws, find the holes. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's an important thing. But truth be told, I challenge, like, and I mean this, like, get another guy, maybe even a couple of guys, and have a simulated, pull out a chemical, have a simulated hazmat huddle and say, what are we picking?
All right, let's do it now. Make up a scenario.
All right. So let's pick a chemical that everybody's let's do ammonia.
Okay.
Let's do ammonia because I don't have to look it up. I everybody kind of knows what the hell we're talking about. So we do ammonia. We'll do anhydrous ammonia coming out of a tank.
Okay.
And it is leaking. We're going to say it's a sunny fall day.
Okay.
And we have all the equipment you could possibly need. Now, here's the funny thing right here. You want to hear what we got to say?
What do you mean?
I think this is a premium section.
Ooh. Okay, just really quick. Fall for New York? Like, and what?
Ah,
what,
ah, good point. Oh, yeah. We'll say a mid-50s, dry, crisp, hint of cinnamon in the air.
Ooh, like apple pie being baked.
Yes.
Delicious.
We'll see you guys in a little bit. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Hazmat Guys. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. And don't be afraid to use that like or follow button. Or
you can sign up for even more content from us at thehazmatguys.com. Here, you can subscribe so that we can connect you to even more great stuff. Your support is going to help us improve and build this awesome community even more.
Yeah, and if you want to get to the next level, you won't want to miss our premium content. Our specialist level provides you with access to our entire catalog of shows, which is now over 300, an exclusive Facebook group, premium video with no ads, and so much more. Also, check the Hazmat Guys University link on our website.
And don't forget, we are always interested in hearing about incidences or calls that you have experienced. We may bring you on the show to share that story. Reach us at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
And remember, folks, don't just get on the job, get into the job.